It's good to be back in fellowship with you all once again, and welcome to our Friday evening church meeting. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and those here in the room. Pray that God has richly blessed you throughout this past week, and what a joy it is to come to another Sabbath day, the honorable of the Lord. And what a delight it is. Our opening song is Over Yonder. Come let us sing of heaven down by the crystal sea. Wonderful land where Jesus buildeth a mansion for me. Over yonder, down by the crystal sea. Over yonder, there's where I long to be. No more sorrow, toil, grief, nor care. In the homeland bright and fair, over there. Water of life there floweth, fruit in abundant store. Citizens of that country, hunger and thirst nevermore. Over yonder, down by the crystal sea. Over yonder, there's where I long to be. No more sorrow, toil, grief, nor care. In the homeland bright and fair, over there. Come go with me to heaven, Jesus invites you there. Help spread the invitation, tell it to men everywhere. Over yonder, down by the crystal sea. Over yonder, there's where I long to be. No more sorrow, toil, grief, nor care. In the homeland bright and fair, over there. And with each passing day, heaven is looking so much more desirable, dear ones. So much more pleasurable. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, it's now time for opening prayer, and shall we please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that all things are in thy hands, under your control, and nothing catches you by surprise. Thank you for the privilege and distinct honor it is to call you our Father, all made possible through our mediator, Jesus Christ. We give you complete control, dear Father, of this meeting, and please help each listening heart to give you control of their hearts as well. And we thank you for being in our midst and for bringing the atmosphere of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, along with your presence. We also desire the presence of our Savior to be among us, to yoke himself with each heart, and lead us in the way everlasting. And we also pray for the Holy Spirit to be here in our midst, to correct us, instruct us, and guide us into all truth, away from all error. And thank you, dear Spirit, for being our comforter. Father, we pray that you'll be with those that are being threatened with Hurricane Irma or have already felt the destructiveness of this gigantic storm. Please protect our dear loved ones and family members that may be affected by this storm, especially our dear Sister Lynn and Sister Susan. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and divine protection and watchful care. Be also with those in Texas that may have lost all or who are still recovering from Hurricane Harvey. Be with our brethren in Puerto Rico and any of the Caribbean there that has been affected by the hurricanes. Please also be with those that are dealing with fires in various parts of the country. Be with our dear brother Joel as he is traveling, and let the meetings go well, and please open the way for him to make it to South Africa and to witness the truth to those dear brethren in that area. Be with our dear brother Mukinda, who is in Australia, and please open the way before him and open hearts to receive the truth. We also pray that you'll be with our dear brother Isaac, and please help him in the situation with the children under his care. Also be with our dear brother Garay and family, who are warning the people in Colombia and elsewhere regarding the beast and the Antichrist. And please let many hearts be open to receive the truth and to escape from Babylon before it's too late. Thank you so very much for hearing and answering these and any other prayer requests. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Normally, I don't interfere or interrupt the service this early. I wait for testimony time. But unfortunately, for Sister Lynn and myself, the hurricane is coming directly where we live in our county. And this is a devastating storm. And now it has been confirmed in the past, within the past 24 hours, not even the changes, that it's definitely coming directly through our, right near where our homes are. Lynn and I live 14 minutes apart from each other. So I don't know if tomorrow I'm going to have any service because I don't have computers. I only have my phone. And I hope you keep us in prayer, because I called Sister Lynn tonight and I was almost in tears because I was all over the time of Sabbath when Sabbath started, and I was still picking up things in the yard so they didn't fly through my windows in my tiny little house in the woods. And I felt so terrible about it and ashamed. But, you know, this is something beyond I mean, I live in the woods. I live in a 160 square foot little building in the woods, and I'm not tugged by my heart, you know, to leave. But I also felt ashamed, like I said, that it was over Sabbath time to start, and I was still picking things up. And tomorrow they claim that if by 6 o'clock you don't have whatever has to be done done, believe me, we're in trouble over here. And this is not the first hurricane that Lynn and I have been through. We've been through many, but not as devastating as this one. So I hope and pray that, you know, tonight's service will sit nice on my heart. And my testimony, I just want to say it now because in case my phone goes off because I have had bad reception all day. So please bear with me and apologize once again. But my brother went looking all over for water. There's no water. You can't get water. You can't get gas. You can't get anything. I have a well and a septic. I don't have city water. So if we have no electricity, we have no water and no electricity, which is okay. I can live without the electricity. But I had my brother looking for water, and I had also asked for some distilled water because I wanted to make colloidal silver in case, God forbid, we needed it for bacteria infections and germs. And he couldn't find it anywhere. This one lady went to a place where they were giving away food today, and he went and got picked up some food and came back to me, and he said they were giving everybody 1 gallon of water and were also giving them some food. And by God's grace, the 1 gallon of water was a distilled bottle of water. So praise the Lord. And once again, I apologize. You know I don't interfere, but I'm kind of worried about this. I'm not fearful. I'm not afraid, but I'm concerned. And I don't know, like I asked Sister Lynn tonight, you know, if I should be doing anything tomorrow because it's Sabbath. But if we don't, I don't know what not to do. So I need help tonight, folks. Sister Lynn was so kind. She gave me scripture to show me what should be done and what shouldn't be done and what's okay. But I figured I would share my testimony as I do every week. Otherwise, it just wouldn't be me. So thank you so much and God bless.
And praise the Lord, dear brother, and Sabbath blessings. And I just praise the Lord because I didn't even know if I'd be able to get in myself this evening. The last week or two, when I would try and come in, I would have no sound at all. I couldn't hear. And tonight, it was like I said a prayer. I said, Lord, you really know I need the, how's the song go? I need the prayers of those I love, you know, because it is, you know, quite distressing what's coming here. And all day, my mom and I have been getting phone calls from virtually around the world, you know, how are you? And they're freaking out. And aren't you freaking out? And are you seeing up? And we're like, yes, we do understand. But what can we do? We're doing the best that we can, you know. And we see the situation the way it is. We understand that it's going to be worse than the worst hurricane that ever hit Florida. But, you know, again, and I don't want to take up the time. It's just that, I don't know, my electricity could go in any time, and I came in not knowing if I would even have sound. And then when I was able to hear the beautiful song Over Yonder, thank you so much, dear Elder Rob, and to hear your voice, I was like, yes, thank you, Lord, I have sound. God knew how much I needed to be able to be here this evening and to be able to hear and pray with you and things like that and fellowship and hear God's word. And so I praise the Lord for that, and as I try to, in my own feeble little way, just to kind of strengthen Sister Susan as she's, you know, doing the best that she can. And I know God, and I said, you know, God knows your heart. God knows my heart. He knows our heart. And we live in a little two-bedroom mobile, which is very old, and I'm sure the winds will probably knock it down. I may not have a house to come back to. I don't know. I may be homeless. I don't know, but God knows. But as I told her, I said, but don't you know, God knows our hearts. And he said, your bread and water shall be sure. And it's in Isaiah. I said, you know, so even though all week I've been looking for water, I have some water, what have you. But that text just kept coming to my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, no problem. Thy will be done. You know, and to be at peace with it. Because it's nothing else I can do. So the best I can do, I went and got some medicine my mom needed. And we're going to go to one of my brothers, Isaac, who lives in a condo. And that's the best I can do. At least a condo has cement walls, as far as I know. And so by his grace, you know, maybe we can be in for service tomorrow. I don't know, because it's very ominous looking out there. And it's kind of freaky, you know. But again, not to freak out, but just to trust God. We know that there are a lot of things that are happening around the world. There was the 8.2 hurricane with Hermano Rodolfo, who is Sister Rosa's dad, in Mexico. Please pray for them, because is horrible. The fires that are going on in the West. And so, dear brethren, we're coming in a time such as never was. And I pray for us all, and I'm including myself here, to stand firm and then to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as I told all of the people that were calling, family and otherwise, today, you know, okay, so if it's our time to go, my prayer and my devotion this morning is I literally cry before the Lord, Lord, if it's my time to go, I just pray that all my sins are forgiven and that I will be able to rise in the first resurrection and see his face in peace. And so I pray for that. So God's will be done. I love you all, and I praise the Lord for the testimony of Sister Susan, letting her know, as I told her, you see, God knew your heart. He knows what you want, and he provided, letting you know, I got your back, sis. Don't worry. I got your back. And so I praise the Lord and thank him, and thank you so much for indulging me as well. God bless all, and have a wonderful Sabbath.
Well, thank you, dear sisters, and we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer. Not just at the beginning of the meeting, but at the end of the meeting, and we'll also be keeping you in prayer in our own private prayers and tomorrow as well. So don't be tempted to believe that you're all alone, even though you may physically be, because you have your dear church family praying for you and keeping you in our thoughts as well. And God's perfect will be done. You know, if there's no way for you to escape from harm's way, then rest in God's love and he will protect you. There's plenty of scriptures where the angels of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear God and delivereth them. Psalms 34:7. God's phone number, Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. You have a perfect testimony to relay to others of God's divine protection and watchful care over you. So don't fear. Fear has torment. Torment destroys peace. So rest in the love of God. And he will lead and guide you into all truth. So, amen. Amen. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen indeed. And there's been miraculous events that have taken place in the lives of God's people throughout the ages. More recently, there was, I believe it was during World War II, and the Germans were passing through one particular territory, and they were traveling along a road, and all the different houses that were along this road, the soldiers were going in and ransacking and either killing the inhabitants or taking them prisoners or whatsoever was occurring. And there happened to be a Christian family that was down further on the block, and they could hear everything that was going on. And they knew that if they would try to run, they'd be shot. So all that they could do was to huddle in their house and pray for a miracle. And they decided to all get on their knees. It was a mother and several children. I don't remember if the dad was there, but they got on their knees and was praying to God, quietly, of course, but they were each praying to God, and they could hear the armored vehicles coming down the way. They could hear screams of their neighbors and gunfire. And then it was like it went right past them and continued down the road to where it just, the noise faded away. They didn't hear anything. And so they were wondering, you know, did they stop right outside the house? Are they just waiting for us to peer through the windows? And so after about 2 or 3 hours of silence, they finally gathered up the courage to go to the windows, and they couldn't see anything out the windows, so they decided to open the door just a crack. And when they opened the door, they saw that there was a gigantic amount of snow that was blocking the door. And what had happened, they pieced it together afterwards, what had happened was, it was during the winter, but God had allowed a significant amount of snow to completely cover their house so that the Germans did not see that there was anything there to worry about, and they just went right on past the house believing it was just a big snowbank. So even with harm in their sight and in their ears, God worked a miracle because they put their faith in Him. Now, if God had arranged for them to escape that situation, then it would have been in their best interest to follow that open door of escape. But in this particular situation, there was no escape. So you can indeed trust in God's ability to protect you from whatever harm you may hear or perhaps see coming your way, because He's the miracle-working God. And in putting your faith, hope, and trust in Him, and His divine protection watches over you, then what a tremendous testimony you have to give to others of the goodness and mercy and love of your Heavenly Father. Call upon Him in the day of trouble. He will deliver you. Amen. Amen. There's a comment in the room that says, God can and has made people invisible to their enemies. And that's very true. I mean, when Christ came to His hometown there in Nazareth and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and they allowed Him to read from the scroll, and He read the passage where, you know, God would allow His servant to come in the last days to lead the people to the Lord. And He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they got upset and angry and said, you grew up in our midst. How can you possibly be the Messiah? And He gave them some very straight truth that they didn't like, and they grabbed Him and took Him to the brow of the hill and was going to toss Him over. And He just walked right through the midst of them and went away. So God can indeed make His people invisible to their enemies, to the fact that they just spin their wheels in trying to find them, and they just have disappeared. They've gone right through the midst of them. So God can do miraculous things that we have no comprehension that He can do. There was even an instance where this Christian lady on one of the island nations there in the South Pacific was traveling down a path with her friends, and robbers came out and was going to attack them, and she began to pray to Jesus or talk about Jesus or something. I forget exactly how it was, but the robber came right up to her with his gun and said, do you believe in Jesus? And she goes, yes. And he goes, well, do you believe that God can protect you even though I'm going to pull this trigger and shoot you? And she goes, yes, my God can do anything. And so he went to pull the trigger and his hand froze in place. Couldn't pull the trigger. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't do it. So then he raised his hand up and was going to crack her down on the skull with the butt of the gun, and his hand froze up in the air. He couldn't bring it down. So at that, he became so terrified that he and his companions ran away and left them alone. So God can do marvelous things if we put our faith, hope, and trust in him. We've been discussing about the Israelites, about how God was able to miraculously feed them and quench their thirst and keep their shoes from wearing thin and their clothes from becoming torn and ragged for 40 years. He protected their feet from swelling. He protected them from being scorched by the sun during the day and freezing at night. Amen. Ministry of Healing 481, paragraph 2. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Amen indeed. And another comment. Be still and know that I am God, and the rest, I will be exalted among the people. So amen indeed. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please feel free.
I just wanted to praise the Lord again because I really don't know what had happened, why I did not have sound before. And right as God knew how much I needed his companionship. I mean, not that I don't have his companionship, but the companionship of my brethren of whom I love, and especially on the Sabbath day, you know, I praise him so much to be able to have sound. I wasn't going to come in this evening because I said, if I come in, I'm going to have my phone on to be able to be listening. And I just said a prayer, Lord, you know how much I really want to come in and I really need the sound. And I came in and I had sound.
Amen, dear sister, and praise the Lord for working through the electronics to allow you to have sound tonight, whereas before you didn't. And I'm not quite sure why. That's electronics for you. Sometimes they work great and other times they don't. And you almost pull your hair out trying to figure out why. But praise God you're able to be with us. Well, we're in Patriarchs and Prophets. Chapter 38, dealing with the journey around Edom. And we left off at page 427, about a third of the way down the page. And what we were talking about before was that Moses and Aaron and Eleazar had been instructed by God to go up to the mountain, Mount Hor. And that was going to be the place where Aaron was going to die, and that Eleazar was going to take over the high priesthood. And so the camp of Israel recognized that Moses, Aaron, and Eleazar went up to the mountain, and they weren't quite sure why just those three went up, but they remembered that Moses and Aaron were not going to be allowed to go into the promised land, and so they were kind of anxious about what was going to take place. And they were also self-accusing themselves for their murmurings that led Moses and Aaron to losing control of their composure and becoming angry and committing the sin. So all of this was going on in the hearts of the people, and they were just sort of waiting to see what was going to happen. And that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up at this new paragraph. The forms of Moses and Eleazar were at last discerned, slowly descending the mountainside, but Aaron was not with them. Upon Eliezer were the sacerdotal garments, showing that he had succeeded his father in the sacred office. As the people with heavy hearts gathered about their leader, Moses told them that Aaron had died in his arms upon Mount Hor, and that they there buried him. The congregation broke forth in mourning and lamentation, for they all loved Aaron, though they had so often caused him sorrow. They mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Now, it's interesting here. It said that the children of Israel loved Aaron. They respected him. They honored him by mourning his death for 30 days. But it also says that they caused him a lot of sorrow, a lot of grief. But they still loved him. Doesn't that sound like a family? A large family? Even though the children may cause their parents a lot of grief, yet they still love their parents. They're sorry for all the anxiety and sorrow that they've caused them. But they're still a family. So even though you may have a large home church or a small home church, there's going to be times in which individuals, members, are going to cause others sorrow and sadness, perplexity, anxiety. But that doesn't mean love isn't there. It's just part of coming together as a family and working through these problems. And love allows the problems to be worked through. But it's all part of being a family. Are there any other thoughts? Any other comments? Any questions? Please feel free.
It's so true, because I know that many times I pray for my youngest brother, Weston, and I may have been praying for one thing, and it seemingly the prayer was not being answered. But I can see in so many ways how the Lord has been answering a prayer. But, of course, all the time my prayer has been, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so recently, with all the situations and problems that he's had with the job that he had, it ended up that the people were so, dragonian, if you want to put it that way, that they fired him. And so it has been a witness, truly. Because a lot of the other co-workers that he had, they've said, you know, how could they fire you who has never done anything to them and what have you? And the Lord has allowed him to be able to find another job, not as hardworking as the other one, and yet getting more money. And the thing is that they tried to give him another one, which would have been paying money and things, and he says, no, I observe the Sabbath. And that wasn't it before. And so I praise the Lord that through prayer, you know, I told him, I said, Wes, when you honor God, God will honor you. And so he stood up for God, even though he may or may not admit that, but that's what happened. And God honored that. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I see that, okay, I might be praying for one thing, but God is like, no. This is how I want things to be. And so I accept his prayer. I accept his answer, because God always knows what's best. And so I thank the Lord for that. Because God sees not as man sees, because God sees on the heart. You know, God looketh on the heart, and man looketh on the outward appearance.
Amen. Amen. And those who honor God, God will honor. And so with Weston turning down the one job that was going to give him more money because he wanted to honor God by keeping his Sabbath day, the Lord honor him by giving him a better job. So praise God indeed, dear sister, and what a wonderful testimony. Would someone like to read the next paragraph?
Concerning the burial of Israel's high priest, the scripture gives only the simple record. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. Deuteronomy 10:6. In what striking contrast to the customs of the present day was this burial, conducted according to the express command of God. In modern times, the funeral services of a man of high position are often made the occasion of ostentatious and extravagant display. When Aaron died, one of the most illustrious men that ever lived, there were only two of his nearest friends to witness his death and to attend his burial. And that lonely grave upon Mount Hor was forever hidden from the sight of Israel. God is not honored in the great display so often made over the dead, and the extravagant expense incurred in returning their bodies to the dust. That's why people say that you should have burial insurance, because it costs so much. It's just, the funeral home is just outrageous. I mean, you get in trouble trying to bury somebody. I mean, if I died, I would just assume that they dug a hole out here under the trees and buried me and let it go at that. But the person who might do that would probably be taken to court and put in jail because they broke some law. But I go along with the inexpensive, simple way of returning earth to earth.
Amen, dear brother. I agree with you. But there are laws in the United States that prevent individuals from being buried on their own property without going into all of that. It is indeed a crime to do so. That's why there is cemeteries where people have to be buried in. Comment says, without special permission. Oh, okay. I did not know that you could actually get a waiver or permission to bury on your own land. I do know that individuals have opted for cremation because with the ashes of the loved one, there's a lot more leeway with where those ashes are placed, where they end up. But we don't need to go into that. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any questions? Please feel free. Continuing. The whole congregation sorrowed for Aaron, yet they could not feel the loss so keenly as did Moses. The death of Aaron forcibly reminded Moses that his own end was near, but short as the time of his stay on earth must be, he deeply felt the loss of his constant companion, the one who had shared his joys and sorrows, his hopes and fears for so many long years. Moses must now continue the work alone, but he knew that God was his friend, and upon him he leaned more heavily. So even with the loss of his dear family member and loved one and companion in the work, yet there was a blessing even in that loss. Because now Moses had to lean more heavily upon God, and God was there to help steady him, to help lead and guide him and comfort him, which was a blessing. So if God leads us to to where loved ones have died in our lives. A companion has passed away that we have become attached to very strongly. God is not at fault. The devil is. Death is the devil's authorship, not God's. The devil's responsible for sickness, for death, for sorrow. God isn't. But if God allows one of our loved ones or companions to be taken from us, there is a blessing in that, because now we have to depend more heavily upon God. And He's right there to help us more than He was before. God has always been there for us, but we haven't always depended on Him like we should. So if it's God's will that those of our human companions that we look to, depend on, and love are removed from us for a short time, it's for the purpose of leading us to depend more heavily upon God Himself to get us through. And becoming closer connected with God means we're closer to eternal life. So if a loved one happens to be taken from us, let's not murmur against God. Let's not complain that He didn't hear and answer our prayers to spare their life for another year or more. Let us recognize who the author of death is, put all the blame upon Satan, and no blame at all upon God, and joy in the fact that now we're going to depend more heavily upon God to get us through. So God's in control of all things. He does not needlessly allow sorrow and sadness to come our way. But when He does allow it, it's for a good purpose, with the goal of our salvation in mind. God was the friend of Moses, spoke with him face to face, and now Moses is going to have to depend even more heavily upon God, and that was for his best interest. He was nearing his end. What better time to spend more with God than ever before? Here we are in the end of days. What better time to spend even more with God? May we indeed lean more heavily upon our God. Whether we have lost loved ones or still have them with us, let us make God our fortress, our tower of defense, our shelter from the time of storm. And He will indeed show Himself to be our friend, just like He did to Moses. Amen. That is an excellent hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And what I would like to do is, for the last bit of time that we have here, I would like to stop reading at this point and open it up to hymns, because singing hymns and songs is one way to bring comfort and solace to our dear sister Susan and Lynn and others who may be going through the threat of harm and danger. So I think that would be a good hymn to start out with, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And then we can go to Rock of Ages. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise God.
Amen, amen. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, yes, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side, which flowed, be of sin a double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure.
Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thyself I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
Amen. When my pilgrimage I close, victor o'er the lust of foes, when I'm raised to ascend above, and behold more of thy love. Rock of ages, left for me, let me hide myself in thee.
This hymn came to mind. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storms. Thank you, God.
Amen, amen. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm. Amen.
Amen. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. Wonderful singing, dear ones. And are there any other songs that you'd like to sing? Any other thoughts that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
What's the name of that song? I can't think of it right now, but it's has to do with clinging to Jesus is a rock, and I can't quite think of this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. The song that goes like that. Yes, that's the one.
Thank you for that. I was looking for the solid rock. I was looking for my anchor holds, and it's in times like these. So thank you so much for giving me the title. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Hey, Brother Dick, how about a verse?
For me to sing here. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, the only one. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds.
In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid.
I tell you, we serve such an amazing God. I was just thinking of this one. Praise the Lord. Blessed assurance. And thank you for letting me start it out. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen, dear brethren. I mean, praise the Lord. Seriously, praise the Lord. I was just reading the other day, I think it was at lunchtime on a devotion in the Great Controversy, when I believe it was it James Huss? And they wanted to kill him. And as they had him strapped to the whatever they strapped them to and then started the flames, he sang. And as the flames continued to wrap around his body or what have you, you could still see his lips moving, not in agony, but in singing hymns. And what better way to praise the Lord in the midst of whatever than to say, praise the Lord and truly blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. This is truly our story. This is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. Amen.
Amen, sister. I echo that. You know, I came in with a heavy heart tonight, but I want to thank Sister Lynn for her words of comfort and for the songs. It elated my heart this evening because they were really burdened down and heavy. And I want to thank each and one of you for your prayers, your love, your songs, our worship together. And especially tonight, it's made such a big difference, such a comfort. Thank you so much. God bless, hugs and love to all.
Well, God bless you as well, dear sister. And we will indeed be keeping you in prayer and our dear sister Lynn and family. And thank you for your prayers for us as well. And we do indeed hope to see you both in our fellowship tomorrow. And we leave it and you in God's hands. Are there any other songs, dear ones, that you'd like to sing? Please feel free.
Yes, blessings, everyone. I'd like to share a hymn that I have learned. It is called, I know I Love Thee Better, Lord. It's a great song, and I want to share it with you guys. I know I love thee better, Lord, than any earthly joy. For thou hast given me the peace, which nothing can destroy, that half has never yet been told. Of love so full and free, that half has never yet been told. The blood, it cleanseth me. I know that thou art near still than any earthly throng, and sweeter is the thought of thee than any lovely song. The half has never yet been told of love so full and free. The half has never yet been told. The blood, it cleanseth me. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, that I may will be glad. Without the secret of thy love, I could what more be sad. The half has never yet been told of love so full and free. The half has never yet been told. The blood, it cleanseth me.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. A request came in. I need the prayers of those I love. I can take one verse if some others would like to take the rest. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Okay, such a beautiful hymn suggestion, dear Sister Ida. I was kind of hoping you would sing one, but okay, I'll sing another verse. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above and intercede with God for me.
I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me under the grace,
that I may walk the narrow way and keep
my brother's glorious praise. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear the tempest full of love, and hear the truth of God for me. I need the prison those I love.
I thought of a song this evening I haven't thought of in a long, long time, and maybe it'll bring some memories back, but it's a song about a storm. When Jesus lived on the earth long ago and taught the people here, He went in a boat on the blue Galilee with His disciples dear. Rock, 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 little boat on the sparkling sea. Rock, 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 dear Jesus rides in thee. Rock, 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 o'er the waters swiftly flee. For Jesus rides in the little boat on blue Galilee. He had toiled that day doing good to all, was tired as he could be. So he went to sleep in the little boat on beautiful Galilee. Rock, 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 little boat on the sparkling sea. Softly rock, dear Jesus sleeps in thee. Rock, 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 o'er the waters swiftly flee. For Jesus sleeps in the little boat on blue Galilee. Then the clouds grew dark and the winds blew hard. The waves rolled o'er the sea. The disciples feared in that little boat on stormy Galilee. Rock, 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 little boat on the stormy sea. Rock, 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 dear Jesus rides in thee. Rock, 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 o'er the waters swiftly flee. For Jesus rides in the little boat on stormy Galilee. When Jesus woke and saw the storm, He said to the waves, be still. Then the sky grew bright and the winds were calm. The waves obeyed His will. Rock, 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 little boat on the sparkling sea. rock, 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 dear Jesus, rise in thee. Rock, 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 o'er the waters swiftly flee. For Jesus rides in the little boat on blue Galilee. Memories from long ago.
Amen. We sang that song in Cradle Roll a lot with all the hand motions that went with it. I have a song that was a favorite of a dear friend of mine. It goes like this. My heart will sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's leading ever upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll travel on. Until the day that I behold my Savior. Until the day God calls me home. This friend was a pastor, and he was in the final stages of his life, and as so often happens, was trying to talk but not making much sense. And I had my ukulele, and Jake and I went to visit him. And I asked him, let's sing the song that you love so dear. And I want to tell you, music is a miracle, because he sang the song right through on key and never missed a word. And then he said, I used to be a singing evangelist. And I told him, you still are.
I see one of the brethren asked me to sing a song, the very same Jesus, and I'd be glad to sing it for him. Let me see, let me just find the song. Come sinners to the living one, he's just the same Jesus as when he raised the widow's son. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come feast upon the living bread, he's just the same Jesus as when the multitudes he fed. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come tell him all your griefs and fears, he's just the same Jesus as when he shed those loving tears. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Still follow him for a clearer light, he's just the same Jesus as when he gave the blind their sight. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Calm is the waves of trouble be, he's just the same Jesus as when he hushed the raging sea. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Someday our raptured I shall see, he's just the same Jesus. Oh, blessed day for you and me. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
And another hymn came to mind. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home.
Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure.
Amen. Before the hills in order stood, on earth received her frame. From everlasting, thou art God, to endless years the same.
A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Amen, dear ones. These are beautiful hymns and songs, and thank you so much for singing them and joining in and praising our God, and also helping our dear loved ones to better rest in the Lord and not worry about the future. Are there any other songs? Any other things that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
Just again, praise the Lord, dear brethren, one and all. I, too, didn't even think of coming in. And, you know, praise the Lord that I was able to get in and have sound and the blessing of the fellowship and the burden that's been lifted from my heart with the singing and praise to God and testimonies and just knowing that we can rest in God no matter if it's storms or fires or earthquakes or whatever it is that we have, we can truly rest safely in Him. And I just praise the Lord once again for the beautiful fellowship this evening. And also, Sister Susan, also from her call, it did help me to also say, okay, well, I'll go ahead and try and come in, praying that, okay, maybe I might not have sound, but I can try. And God gave the blessing of the sound. And so praise His holy name. Praise His name from everlasting to everlasting. And if this is our last time together, praise His name, because we know that by His grace, we shall meet again on that great by and by. Thank you, dear brethren, for a beautiful fellowship this evening. May God bless you and have a beautiful continuation.
Amen, dear sister, and praise the Lord indeed. And we're so happy that you decided to come in and join with us in fellowship. Well, it's been a wonderful service, precious church family. And thank you so much for making it so. And thank you, Godhead, for bringing your comfort and peace and joy and love to each one of us tonight. It's now time for a closing prayer, and whoever would like to offer that, please go right ahead.
Our loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for more fellowship, for offering a closer walk with you by it. of having fellowship, whether on or offline, to come closer to the image of Jesus through blessed faith, trust, and hope. We do continue to uphold the dangers that threaten and that have already threatened, such as our dear Sister Rose's father in Mexico over the large earthquake that occurred there, and ask that you would continue to guide our brethren and sisters to be successful in preparing, successful to avoid all dangers, and all the while having a great trusting experience through it. When I've heard some of the stories today, I just think, you know, it's a blessing. It's not so good for the people that are telling it necessarily, but for us that perhaps don't have the issues that they're facing, it does make life seem a lot easier. Or it's like seeing someone that's disabled and they can't walk, they can't talk, they can't move, they can't do much. And yet they're happy, they smile. It's kind of like that. And I thank you for causing it to be so. It's our desire to see others that don't know you to get to know you. We are ourselves here straight after here going to a parking lot. We've never done this before at a Seventh-day Adventist parking lot. I know the devil knows and his evil angels, and they'll do anything to stop us from having faith. So we pray that they will. We will not be looking to them and seeing what they can do to us, but looking above them, who has power over them to keep them at bay so the work of the Lord can be done. We know that's the reason the earth is here. It's not just going on and on. It's certainly not to teach the people that once saved, always saved, or that character formation means nothing, when nothing would be crueler if we can go to heaven right now rather than waiting a long time. We thank you for giving us life to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it's by faith and not of our works, lest anyone should boast. We also want to uphold our dear brother Joel and Rex in their conversations that they've been having. Brother Joel has had wonderful contacts in Africa that have meant certain strong friendships growing, and we hope that nothing gets in the way of this, and to find the necessary means so that the truth can increase in that wide field that is Africa, where we know is just a huge amount of souls, enormous. We also uphold our brother Wellington and his stay for 5.5 weeks to go, that he is very much heard by the dear souls that he's staying with, and that they don't miss the words that he's sharing with them that they may have never heard in their life. Spirit, don't let them, allow them to just disregard it. Just keep impressing, keep instilling, keep convicting. You're so friendly the way you do it. You're so gentle with us when you show us what we are doing wrong. You even tell us in our mind before we are about to do something wrong to keep us from falling, like King Abimelech, who wanted to marry Abraham's, or be with Abraham's wife, which he didn't know, because you didn't want him to sin against you. You warned him. That's very encouraging. Very encouraging what you'll do for all of us to overcome sin in all areas of our life. I also want to uphold our sister Lucy's brother, Alan, in his pursuit to get better again, that it won't just be a matter of physically getting better. He's had many times where he's got physically better, but he might experience spiritual health and a solace that if he should be called to the grave, he's got peace going there. and not being without hope when there's so many reasons to trust you. Also uphold my dad. Thank you for preserving my life. I've never lost anyone close in my life, as brethren and sisters have, and so I have not experienced exercising faith when someone close to me does. I never get to see them again, and I appreciate it not happening last week, and I pray that all of us will be strengthened by the experiences of the past to be wherever we are in our experience with the subjects that face us on a regular basis, that we will be the strong, growing Christians that you want us to be. Please bless our brethren and sisters on the other side of the world as they go to bed, that they would get sweet rest because they're trusting in me for it. And for those of us that are awake, to be alive to the work that's before us of looking to Jesus and living. Just like the children of Israel looked to get healing from the biting serpents in the wilderness. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. We love you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we'll indeed be keeping you both, dearest brother and sister, as you enter into the lion's den and share the truth of Jesus. And looking forward to a wonderful testimony next Friday evening on how it went. So praise God. Dear ones, are there any other songs you'd like to sing? Any other thoughts that you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? Please go right ahead.
Yes, yeah, Sister Lynn mentioned in her last presentation, whatever you want to call it, testimony, about burdens being lifted. And that reminded me of this song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are heavy and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary. Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Amen. Beautiful, dear brother. What a perfect song to end tonight's service. Jesus is very near. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep trusting in your Lord, for he is very near each one of you, especially those that are of a troubled heart. He is very near. So may God bless, dear ones, and we're continuing to keep you in prayer. Thank you for your prayers for us as well. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow. May God bless.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest storms will blow away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.